4, the Shorter Catechism asks, what is God? And answers, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Psalm 23 begins, the Lord is my shepherd. That is, Jehovah is my shepherd. Or the great I Am is my shepherd. The infinite, eternal, unchangeable God is my shepherd. The one who has infinite wisdom, infinite power, unchangeable holiness, unchangeable justice, infinite and eternal goodness, and eternal truth is my shepherd. Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 15 says, Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, What the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you? And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. The name Jehovah, the proper name for God, comes from these words which God spake unto Moses, saying, I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Psalm 23 says, Jehovah is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I am is my shepherd. While John 10 verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus Christ is saying that he is Jehovah God. If Christ were anyone but our great, omnipotent Jehovah God, he would be usurping power from God. Jesus Christ, the great I Am, is my shepherd. He says in John 8:58, Before Abraham was, I am. John 8:24 says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. When Christ came walking on the sea, he says in Matthew 14:27, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. But a careful and close scrutiny of the Greek language would reveal him saying, Be of good cheer, I am, be not afraid. That's the basis for not being afraid. I am. When they came to take Christ in the garden, he says in John 18:5, I am. In verse 6, as soon as he had said that I am, they went back to the ground. They fell unexplainably back to the ground. They could not take the great I Am without his permission, as it were. Psalm 23, verse 1, speaks of the second person of the Trinity. The Lord is my shepherd. In many ways, when he says the Lord is my shepherd, the rest of the psalm writes itself. You think about that. Everything follows from the fact that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why? Well, Jehovah is my shepherd. The great I Am. You could say that with everything that follows. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I am. Because he is. Because he is our eternal God. Many times I have pondered this psalm in my mind, when my mind is engaged on the fact that he is my shepherd. But oft times I forget that he is Jehovah that is my shepherd. The infinite, eternal, unchangeable God. Infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. One of the things that has helped me about the psalm as I've had trouble sleeping, I would try in my mind to think of a very familiar verse and then just keep repeating it over and over in my mind just for that peace which the Word of God and only he can give. I would try to ponder every word. There's something about comforting, so comforting about this psalm as we just think about it over and over. But I confess, even when I don't fall asleep, at least I'm happy when I'm not asleep. It's as though I'm not counting sheep, I'm counting on the shepherd. When you think about that, just pondering his attributes, thinking about everything that you know about him, all his past, everything that is written in here for our admonition, for our comfort. I have to admit that I can never get past the first line. You start thinking about Jehovah God being my shepherd, and you think about all that entails. The fact that he is there with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's with me. Every single step of the way, because of who he is. The main reason I'd like to ponder this psalm is that it considers the person and the work of Jesus Christ. It says, the Lord, that's Jehovah, that's the person of God, is my shepherd. There's the work. That's why I could never get past this first part. But today I would like you to ponder with me that God's richest blessings are ours because of God, who God is. Because of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because of who Jehovah God is. We have one God, and considering Him all throughout brings joy to the Christian as he considers who He is. The first blessing that I'd like to think about is that I shall not want. And I confess, I wanted to take the psalm and then go through this as my morning message. And as I went through it, I found out, well, maybe I might have to have the morning and evening message to split it up. And as I thought about it more, I thought maybe I might have to have a couple times to do it. And then as I realized it, I can't get past the first verse today, too. So this evening, I'd like to go in maybe the second and third verses, if the Lord wills. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is, I will never suffer lack. I shall never, ever suffer lack. I, throughout eternity, will enjoy the unsearchable riches of Christ because of who He is. God is the infinite giver. We read in Exodus 3 of the great I Am. Strictly speaking, I Am that I Am from the Hebrew can be translated nine different ways based on the tense, because I believe it tends to be unclear intentionally. You could say, I Am that I Was, I Am that I Am, I Was that I Am that I will be that I Was, I will be that I Am, I will be that I will be, I Was that I Was, and I Was that I will be. He is truly eternal. No one else in the universe can be spoken of in these terms. It is as though He is saying to His people, I am what you need. I always was, and I always will be. It is no wonder that David says, the Lord is my shepherd. It follows quite logically that I shall not want. I have the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable giver with me. How could any man lack with that? James says in chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift cometh from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And considering the ability of God to give to His people, we read in Ephesians 3:20, Now unto Him that is able to exceeding abundantly above that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Use your wildest imagination. What's the wildest imagination you could ever think that He could possibly give, and then double it, triple it, quadruple it, go into eternity? Can't even fathom the goodness of God. I remember times pondering ahead and thinking, doing the same thing over again, and just maybe for a quick second thinking, wouldn't there be boredom doing the same thing over and over? Not with God. When you think of how infinite God is, He would be able to give you a billion times a billion times a billion, and then multiply it by a billion every second throughout eternity. That's what He's able to do. And still never, ever, ever exhaust the amount He's able to give you and bless your soul. You talk about happiness. You're searching for happiness this day. Where is happiness but in an eternal God? In Luke 11, we read in verses 5 through 10, And He said unto him, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come, and I have nothing to set before him. That's our lot, right? When you think about it, we have nothing to set before each other. As Christians, as trying to talk to your unsaved loved one or your neighbor or anything, we have nothing to set before him, but we know who does. And when you look at this parable, it goes on. He says, And he shall answer within and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are now with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity will he rise and give him as many as he needeth. And this is a man he's talking about. I'm talking about God. How much more God? I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Infinite given is truly described in another verse that we read. It says, as we go on, it says, If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more, infinitely more, shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? You talk about infinite giving. Giving the Holy Ghost, God gives Himself. Infinite giving is also expressed in two of the greatest verses expressing giving of God's love in Scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Again, if he were a created being, God would be able to make an infinite number of those beings and send, and if one failed, so what? It's just an infinite, it's just a finite being. But God gave everything. God gave his son. One of the greatest examples of giving in Scripture, God giving everything, holding back nothing. The same love is expressed by that same exact love. Same infinite, eternal, and unchangeable love is expressed only in a different way. That one's expressed by the Father. Here comes the one expressed by the Son. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Giving his life for his friends. How can any man ever lack when Jehovah is his shepherd? His giving is unparalleled, and his willingness to give cannot be questioned either. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 says, And there came a leper to Jesus Christ, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If you're willing, you can do it. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. We have a willing God. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy was departed from him and he was cleansed. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You'll never read of a willing sinner and an unwilling God. You always read of an unwilling sinner. You always read of Christ saying, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And sinners unrepentant saying, I don't need your rest. And that's what sinners do. Romans 8:32, He that spared not his own son. Now listen to this logic. He that spared not his own son, sent everything, sent the infinite riches of God. How shall we not by him freely give us all things? It's through him that he gives us everything. When you look at such a glorious God giving everything, if a man were able to give you $1 billion right now, and he thought you worthy of such a gift, suppose you had need of a paperclip, do you think he would withhold it? Same logic. If a man gives everything, how much more would he give him something so small as the daily needs we have? We should never be as the Israelites of old. In Psalm 78:41 it says, Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. That's all he can do. He can't he furnish a table in the wilderness, it would say. Can God do that? Yes, he can. We read earlier in Psalm 78, He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. It's as though they need a glass of water and he gives them rivers. He brought down streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. People keep thinking, well, look, they're going to bargain with God, saying, look, you give me this and I believe in you. Not true. God gave so much to some people, and by them getting more rich, they thought that they could be more against God. They would be able to shake their puny fist up at God and think they could do without him because of the gift that God gave them. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And again, yes, he can. Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out. This was no trickle. When you think of a little water fountain that a child might go up to and then got that little bit of water, the waters gushed out. The streams overflowed. It says, Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord God heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and also against an anger came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them corn from heaven, man did eat angels' food and set before them meat to the full. It's interesting that when Christ fed the 5,000, it says in Matthew 14:19, he commanded the multitude to sit down in the green grass. And I thought that was so familiar when you read Psalm 23 verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Here is the great pasture, the great shepherd coming along and making him to sit down on the green grass. Christ would feed 5,000 men besides women and children. Later he would, through his infinite power of creation, feed 4,000. And yet in Matthew 16:5 it says, And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed, and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Yet they have the infinite, eternal, unchangeable God within their very presence. And they think, Well, we forgot to take bread. We're in a lack. Now, this is why Christ was so upset with us, because we forgot to take bread. which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no meat? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? In other words, there was over above that which ye needed. Always exceeding abundantly above that ye ask or think. How is it that ye do not understand that I spake unto you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? In other words, you have the infinite, eternal, unchangeable God with you. What is your need? I am that need. You'll never suffer lack in the presence of Jesus Christ. Then it says, then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. The point I think here is that the disciples have the eternal Christ with them. The one who created the 5,000 and the 4,000. He created, there was nothing there before but the meager amount. He created it. Now they think they're in trouble because they forgot to take bread. But we do the same thing in many ways. We limit God, and yet we do the same type of thing. We don't realize that we have the one who can create what we need right in front of us. The Lord is our shepherd. How can we lack? In Genesis chapter 18, verse 13, when Sarah overheard God's promise of a child, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. You might ask the question, is anything hard for God? Wherever he is throughout Scripture, there is provision. Hudson Taylor rightly said, God's work done God's way shall never lack God's provision. In 1 Kings 17, God commanded the ravens to sustain Elijah. Later, God commanded a widow woman to sustain him. It's interesting to note that Luke 4:25 says, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when the great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow. From Luke 4's perspective, Elijah was sent to the woman, while from 1 Kings 17's perspective, the woman was commanded to sustain Elijah. It's interesting how God used both incidents to be able to sustain each other. It is God superintending over all his creatures. God's provision is well illustrated in 1 Kings 17, 14 through 16. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail because of the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Same thing. Because of the word of the Lord, because I will never see you suffer lack. Because of God's word. Again, we go right back to Jehovah is my shepherd. Who is your shepherd this day? If it's anyone but Jehovah God, he cannot continue to provide. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When Jezebel vowed to destroy Elijah, it says in 1 Kings 19, verses 4 through 8, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, and then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. It's interesting, just stopping there for a moment. We read a Sarah a few minutes ago. She's recorded in the great people of faith, and yet it says she laughed. Here's the great Elijah with the great faith to be able to shut up heaven 3 years and 6 months. From there, he says, I'm not better than any of them. When you look at this, the great faith spoken of is in the object of faith. Faith is never just the kind of working up that I can do in my heart, sitting at God's right hand. The object of faith determines the value of faith, so that a person can have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, and still, the faith is still the faith, because it's in the right one. If the faith is in the wrong one, it has no value whatsoever. It says, cursed is man that trusteth in flesh, in his arm, the arm of flesh, but blessed is the one that trusteth in God. He's trusting in the infinite, eternal, unchangeable God in his being and all the other things, all the other great attributes of God. And it goes on to say, and he looked, and behold, there was a cake upon bacon upon the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went, listen, in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. That must have been one of the best meals someone could ever have. Tasting food after such a long time and having that food being able to give such strength. Only God can give strength. God blessed it. God was with him. The Lord is my shepherd. How can he lack? Whatever his people need, they'll have. What do you need today? You can think in your heart what you need, and sometimes you can be wrong, but know for a surety, God's going to provide it. May I speak to any who are not saved? Jesus Christ says in Matthew 11:28, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's the only one who's able to give your soul the rest it so desperately needs. When Jesus Christ, the infinite giver, went to the woman at the well in Samaria, it says in John 4, And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said unto thee, Give me drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. That promise stands to you this day. Mm-hmm. If you knew Christ for who he is, you would ask. And we're hoping, it's our prayer, that God would open your spiritual eyes, that you would see Christ for who he is. Because that's the first thing the Holy Spirit would do when saving your soul, show you Christ for who he is. From there, you would see all your need for him. You would see that you could ask him, and he will give it to you. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank therewith himself and his children and his cattle? Yes. Is he greater than them? Infinitely greater. He's greater than any that ever lived. He is the great Jehovah God. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this drink, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. It is interesting that Christ says here in verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. This is true of everything that you could ever see in this life. When you think about it, if you eat right now, you'll be hungry tomorrow. If you have a friend now, you may be lonely tomorrow. No matter what it is, it won't fill your soul. Same is true of everything in this transient life. Nothing can truly satisfy except Christ, because he is infinite. When you ask the average individual, what do you want? They had a survey in this to just find out exactly if they could make some kind of commonality of this. And I remember the common thing was 10% more than I have. So after they get the 10%, well, what do you need now? 10% more. Another thing you could boil down, what do you need? I need more. And then the same thing is true of power. What do you want? More. Whenever you ask a person what he really wants, you can sum it up in that one word, more. No matter how much any person ever has, they will always want more. Commercials and other advertisements play on this need that you have inside you, that inward need, the wanting more. They will always try to tell you the true happiness is found in our product. If you haven't found it, maybe you haven't gotten enough of it. You just need to need more. Maybe you need more money. Maybe you need more land. Maybe you need all these things. In some ways, this is the truest emotion that a person that's unsaved ever really has. This is the truth that only an infinite person can satisfy you. Only to be truly filled, you have to be infinitely filled. That someone is Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Solomon was the richest man that ever lived. And reading Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 4, and as we read this, it's going to be, I've gotten this, I've gotten this. Every answer that anyone could ever say, he's richer. Bill Gates will never have even a tenth of the wealth this man had. When you look at something like that, how much do you need? Oh, I just need more. That's the lie of the world. All I need is more. Solomon speaking, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I have gathered me also silver and gold, and peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and of all sorts. sorrow is great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. I had fame, I had wealth, I had everything. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for all my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all labor. Then I looked at all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored on it, and behold, it was all vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit on the sun. Just as though it was nothing but wind. Couldn't satisfy. Solomon had more wives than anyone. Can another person satisfy you? No. There are many people who think they can bargain with God, but what can a mortal man give to an infinite God? Again, anything that's finite can be made infinite amount. All things belong to God. First it says in 1 Chronicles 29:11, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. It says in Matthew 5:25, Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out till thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. The fact of the matter is that no sinner who has ever lived who has been able to pay even one farthing, let alone the great number of sins that he's committed in his lifetime. And there's no bargaining with God. It says in James 2:10, For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. But do not despair, my dear sinner friend. Christ's forgiveness is spoken of in a parable he spoke to Simon in Luke 7:41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. Two vastly different amounts. And when they had nothing to pay, like a sinner has nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? When you look at something like this, have nothing to pay. How long would you have to spend in eternity if you couldn't have anything to pay? It's as though you have to pay me $50 before I let you out and you don't have a penny. No way of making a penny. No way of making any amount. You're there forever. But Christ says in John 6:37, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out. Christ also says in John 3:13, very familiar words, And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. All that believe in Christ have him as their shepherd. And they can say with David, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The results of this great provision is seen in Revelation 5:9-12. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Imagine that. How can you ever be a priest unless you were born in the tribe of Levi? You have to be born into it, the same way with a king. You have to be a prince before you're a king. And it says, And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Any math majors would know it's millions and millions. You can't even number them. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. The number of the saved here is well in the millions. How many sins do you suppose each one of them committed? If Christ saved you this day, or if you're already saved, you know the number was quite high. Imagine multiplying millions times millions, and every single solitary sin is enough to send you to hell forever. Every single one of those sins was paid for by the blood of the Lamb. Any one of those sins were enough to send them to hell, yet Christ paid it all. Look at how vast a ransom paid. And when you look at the provision there, The very fact that they got there shows that each one of these people had a testimony, and God carried them each step of the way. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. This is truly a blessing that David had, and it's truly our blessing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall never suffer lack. I shall suffer no lack. I will throughout eternity enjoy the unsearchable riches of Christ. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. The great I Am is my shepherd. If you're ever having trouble sleeping, you don't have to count sheep. You can count on the shepherd. And this isn't restricted for just times when you're having trouble sleeping. You can always count on him. Ponder his attributes this day. If nothing else, keep thinking it's Jehovah God is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. Let's pray. Our eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, how we thank Thee that we can say with David that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Lord, we thank Thee that there's so much more, Lord, that Thou art able, Thou art infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. No, Lord, we thank Thee that Christ is the same, today, yesterday, and forever. No, Lord, we ask Thee that Thou wilt yet do great things. Lord, we long to see Thee work. Lord, we ask Thee that this would be a day in which the heathen would say, what hath God wrought? Lord, we ask Thee that Thou wilt bring many into the kingdom of God. Again, we ask Thee that Thou wilt give us strength by looking at the person and work of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask Thee that He who sends us and says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, also says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We thank Thee that our provision is with us, and, O Lord, that we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. In Jesus Christ's great name we do pray. Amen.